This time on episode 192 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to talk about Iron Fist, 8 Diagram Dragon Palm. We're going to talk about the weekly Marvel news and your great feedback.
I'm Haley.
I'm John.
And I'm Will.
And we're from Crimson Comet, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Thursday, August 10th, 2017, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Lazy Day.
So we're celebrating by doing work and not napping. Is that right?
I do not approve.
Yeah. We seem to be violating the spirit of the holiday.
Okay, so let's take two. Happy National S'mores Day, ladies!
So we're celebrating by doing this and not eating s'mores.
Yeah, where are my s'mores, boss?
They're right here. Just come on over. We'll get them for you as soon as we're done. How about that?
Fine.
Okay.
Can't we celebrate with a nap and s'mores?
Yes.
S'mores then nap, maybe? A little sugar coma?
We can sandwich it. S'mores, nap, more s'mores.
Oh, I like that.
It's like a nap s'more, yes.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the finesse and the legitimacy of the s'mores. Do you have to do a s'more that, you know, melt the marshmallow over a fire, or can you do it in the microwave?
I like mine to be basically carbon on the outside, which I can't do in a microwave. I mean, you could do it in a microwave, but...
Do you have a gas stove?
No, but I have made do with lighters, candles, just whatever I have at hand.
Candle s'more. I've never done that. Okay.
Last time I made s'mores, I held up the lighter, like the safety lighter, while my friend melted the marshmallows using a fondue spork.
Yeah, that can work. Yeah.
It did quite well.
Okay. So, listener, if you have some great s'more stories on how you can make s'mores without a fire, get that into us at all our contact information. We'll get to you in a second because we're going to get back on track here. And I'm going to say Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because we don't do that.
If you'd like to talk to us about what we don't do, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail about what we're not supposed to do, you can leave it at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
If you'd like to talk to Haley and me, but not SP, about what we are or are not supposed to do, you can get a hold of us at our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find all of us on Twitter, including SP, to talk about what we don't do, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you'd like to leave us a message on YouTube about what we don't do, you can catch us at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Ladies, I have an exciting topic for our podcast tonight. It is the 4th episode of Iron Fist.
I was hoping you were going to say s'mores.
Liar. I was hoping you were going to say there was like some sort of Netflix leak and we could watch The Defenders instead.
Well, there's been an HBO leak, so you can watch some Game of Thrones, apparently. But this episode of Iron Fist is entitled 8 Diagram Dragon Palm. And Haley, who was it directed by?
This episode was directed by Miguel Sapochnik. He has 22 directing credits going back to 2000, including the movie Repo Men, 6 episodes of House, 1 of Falling Skies, 2 of Fringe, 2 of Banshee, 1 of Revolution, 1 of Under the Dome, 1 of True Detective, 4 episodes of Game of Thrones, and, you know, Iron Fist.
The episodes of Game of Thrones he did were actually really good. Ooh! And he is supposed to direct an episode of the upcoming series Altered Carbon, episode 2 of that series, which, by the way, if you haven't read, which I haven't read, but my husband has, it's a really interesting sounding series, and I'm very glad they're doing it as a show.
Yeah, so Miguel looks like a very experienced and accomplished director, so hopefully...
Yeah, he did Battle of the Bastards, you guys. That was a fantastic episode.
Yeah, it was. It was the it was my finale for Game of Thrones, so well done, sir. Well done.
This season is so good.
I've heard that. Well, you know, I did see the first 5 episodes of this season's premiere and the last 5 episodes because, you know, my son in the hospital said, "Dad, you need to watch this." I'm like, "Oh, yes, son." I mean, how are you supposed to ignore your child in a hospital bed? Okay, I'll watch it. Okay.
Easy. They're in a bed and you can grab the remote.
Or just leave.
So what happened was he was drugged up and he slept through it. It was actually on his 21st birthday. So the next day when I come in, he's like, "Dad, you've got the HBO app on your iPad, don't you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do. Here you go." And thinking I could do something else. But he's like, "Oh, no, you need to watch it, too." I'm like, "Oh, crap.
You better quit stopping about Game of Thrones or I'm going to start rewatching this season's episodes instead of, you know, doing the podcast."
Do it.
Okay, that's good enough. So, Lauren, who wrote this episode?
This episode was written by Scott Reynolds, who has 6 credits since 2012, but they're pretty good ones. He wrote for E-Ring, Dexter, early cuts. I don't know what the difference between that and Dexter is, but he also wrote for Dexter. The Following, but I think it's episodes from after when I stopped watching. Yeah, season 2. It was like right after I stopped watching. And he wrote 5 episodes of Jessica Jones, including... AKA It's Called Whiskey, AKA WWJD, AKA I've Got the Blues, and AKA Smile. And he wrote this episode of Iron Fist and the 12th episode of the series.
So the penultimate episode of the series.
Yeah, he's also the producer for Dexter, The Following, Jessica Jones, and Iron Fist. Or a producer, I should say.
So we've got 2 great people behind the creative team and the director and writer. So hopefully this episode will be great, right, ladies?
Yeah. I mean, it could have been worse.
I mean, a car accident could have been worse.
You can only give somebody... You can give a good chef bad ingredients, and they will come up with something good, but maybe not what they could have done if you'd gotten them better ingredients.
So we'll talk about some of that ingredients in the future here. And let's start off with the dojo stuff.
Well, let's start out with the title, because I'm excited about this.
That's right. We finally got one.
We finally got one, you guys. So the episode is called 8 Diagram Dragon Palm. So there is a martial art called Bagua Zhang, which translates to 8 Diagram Palm or 8 Symbol Palm. And I've actually seen this one practiced. It's a pretty popular one on TV. If you've ever watched Avatar: The Last Airbender, the airbending is based on it because it's a lot of circular motions. The reason it's called Bagua Zhang is because the Bagua, they're the 8 symbols of Taoism. So it's all about circles and symbols and stuff like that. And if you watch the main character in that movie, Jet Li's character, well, Jet Li plays 2 characters in it, but the good Jet Li uses Bagua Zhang. And there's the Wikipedia page has a whole bunch of other lists, but those are the 2 that I'm most familiar with. And I'm just happy to finally be like, okay, they're not just making up vaguely mystical sounding things. This is actually one that we've got.
We got one. Yay. Okay. So now let's go on and talk about the dojo stuff, because that's another thing that you're happy about.
Yes. So I think I've mentioned that I took jujitsu for a while. not long enough to, because I took it just kind of piecemeal. So I never actually was able to test for a higher belt or anything. But when they're in Colleen's dojo, which, because she's teaching kendo, it's a Japanese-style dojo. There's a difference between Japanese-style martial arts and Chinese-style martial arts in terms of protocol and everything. And one of the things that I was really happy about is, you see the way they're sitting, I was always taught that the higher ranked students sit closer to the door, because the assumption is that if somebody busts in and starts trouble, they're the first line of defense. And then when you start off a class, the first thing you do is you're watching the show. Well, first of all, they go to seiza correctly, which is when you kneel down, and she faces the front of the room. And in the front of the room, there's the picture of the founder of your martial art. You bow to that, and then you bow to the teacher, and you bow to the highest ranked student. So we saw them bow to the front of the class. So that made me very happy, because it made me a little nostalgic. So that was actually some good research on their part.
Way to go, Iron Fist team. You got one right. Now, they also got the aesthetics a little bit right, because we had a cool white jumpsuit.
We did. Okay. If you have ever read anything with Colleen Wing in the comics, her costume, basically, is this white jumpsuit that has these angel-looking wings on the back. So, what's she wearing when she goes to Fight Club? A white jumpsuit with angel-looking wings on the back. It was a happy moment for me to get to see her like that. Also, to get to see her fighting.
Really, they've just made this show about the wrong character.
They
is the problem.
Really did. I mean, they totally did. The season should have been Colleen Wing's story. I mean, that is how I choose to look at it, because honestly, she's the one that I feel like undergoes the most character growth and is the most interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, she goes back to Fight Club again, even though she says in the dojo that she should practice what she preaches and don't go down there, but she has to go down there. Now, you guys have seen the entire series. I have not, and I am searching for why she is trying to do this. Is it because that she is needing the violence and the vengeance, or is it because she needs the money, or is it a combination of the two? I'm leaning towards it's a combination of the two right now, but I'm not entirely sure of that.
Well, there's also the fact that Daryl, is that the name of his student? I think it's Daryl.
I think so.
Tells her that somebody recorded it and Daryl put it, the tape of her, you know, kicking ass at Fight Club online. And he points out, hey, we can get more students, which, yeah, it means more money. But her whole goal is to get at-risk teens off the street. So it could be that she's justifying it to herself with, yeah, it's more publicity. But you can tell she's really enjoying it. So I think that she might be lying to herself a little, maybe, about what her real motives are. But she is definitely enjoying it.
Yeah, if you compare the two fights, the fight from last episode and the fight this episode, the enjoyment part, I think, comes at the end when she's clearly knocked out her opponent, in this case, opponents, and then she continues to go after. And did you like the little move where she's hits the guy? Her hand is just full of blood from the guy, and she just wipes it on her jumpsuit and just keeps on wailing on him.
I was mostly thinking about how white was. I mean, on the one hand, it's a bad choice because it's hard to get dried blood out of clothing. I mean, fresh blood is easy-ish. But on the other hand, because she's trying to have an image there, it's a really good choice because the blood just stands out.
Yeah, it's like hockey players when they
exactly
fight.
Exactly. It's this is what I'm doing to them. And she's like, okay, I'm taking on two guys, and this is what I did to them. Blood. I wipe my hand across my face. She didn't do that, but it's, yeah, you know, the whole, it's kind of a war paint, but not really.
It was so elegant. Like, in the middle of this fast paced fight, she just stops for a second. She looks at her hand, just like wipes it off, and then continues to pummel the guy and continues to get more and more blood splattered everywhere. So good for her. She got the win the two W's and she got the double payday. So she is doing pretty good.
Speaking of the costume, you could also look at it as the white being symbolic of her intentions and the blood sullying them.
Daughter of the Dragon. Got two different things going on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Haley, we need to get you in the conversation here. And okay. I know that Lauren has a lot to say about this, but what is your take about the pharmaceutical boardroom meeting that they were having?
Danny is such an idiot.
That's all you need to say.
Like, even if he wanted to lower the price, he could just say, hey, we're going to start charge, you know, $10 a pill and we're still going to make a lot of money, but it's going to be more affordable for our customers or something, instead of just coming in and being a total, I can't say that word on our podcast, but just like he clearly has no idea what he is doing, but he's going to be in charge and he's going to show that he's in charge.
Well, he still comes in with the same, and it just, I'm sorry, it looks like a penny suit. It looks like he's going to a middle school dance with the suit he has on. It doesn't look like a power suit at all. He doesn't have any idea what he's doing.
The floppy hair doesn't help either.
And the fact that he races under, we'll get to this, he races under his dad's desk while J Money is in the room. That was, he needs a little work on his image.
I mean, I get that he's supposed to be, you know, an outsider who spent this time in a monastery, which means that he should have some self-control.
Nah.
But if he had self-control, then he wouldn't be able to bring the anger out with the fist.
No, he would be able to, because that's why you contain it. So you can let it out at certain times.
Well, he let it out during the hallway fight, though. Oh, come on. It's a hallway fight. We say the words hallway fight on this show. We got to geek out. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not as good.
No. Again, I could see when the stunt double was there and it was just so many cuts. And then there's that one part where it's slow motion. And all I could think of is you use slow motion to drive a point home about how hard something's going to hit. Or how fast a person's reflexes are. And here it's just kind of, I don't know, the editing there I felt was wrong. It was not a good place for it.
But then when they get done with the hallway fight, they have an elevator fight. I mean, we really like elevator fights on the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., don't we?
Yeah.
It was not good. It was, again, too many quick cuts.
Well, from what I understand, it's because they were cutting around the fact that he didn't know Kung Fu.
Exactly. Like, whenever you see Finn Jones actually fighting, he's slow. There's actors where, yes, they're memorizing a series of moves, and you can really only memorize so many moves before for a scene. Keanu Reeves is notorious for being able to memorize a lot, which is why the John Wick movies are so amazing. But, okay, if you look at it like a dance, it's like he was looking at his feet.
I think he was looking at his feet. Same. So, yeah, there was issues with it. The one thing about the fights that I'll point out that was kind of cool for me is there were double panels throughout the fight, which reminded me that this is a comic book show. And that was cool to see the multiple panels basically of the fight as it was going on. And I think that was the only time that it was done throughout the episode. So there's your reminder that this is a comic book, although it did not do justice for the comic. So yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I did like, again, when he uses the power of the Iron Fist and you see the hatchet break on his hand, and it's a good reminder. Okay. This guy isn't just some D-bag. He has this power. And again, the Iron Fist effect is really, really cool.
It is. And it's cool that it actually broke metal. That was, you know, it breaks brass knuckles. It breaks hatchets.
It's an otherworldly power that it's the Iron Fist. It's.
So here's a question. Will it break vibranium?
That I don't. It's probably been answered in the comics and I can't remember.
How about Mew Mew?
No, I don't think it breaks Mew Mew.
So Mew Mew beats Iron Fist.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, well, then again, they might just bounce off each other because they're both otherworldly powers.
That has happened in the movies where you had Cap Shield and
Mew Mew.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll go with that.
Lauren didn't get to do her pharmaceutical rant.
Okay. So, first of all, leishmaniasis is a problem. The cutaneous form looks disgusting, and the internal form, which I can't remember what it's called right now, starts with a V, does kill 50 to 90,000 people a year, which honestly, globally speaking, is not a huge number, but it is bad. And also, I can't believe that he wouldn't know what it is. Well, I guess I can believe he wouldn't know what it is. I mean, there is a problem with the pharmaceutical industry and pricing. However, the way that they wrote it by saying, we can put this back in our research, it makes them seem incredibly sympathetic. If the point was to be like, oh, Danny's such a good guy by making this at cost, they failed, in my opinion.
It just makes him seem dumb and naive.
Yes, because money is needed for research, for development of improved pharmaceuticals. And one of the medications that I was on, I started having a really bad, I'd been on it for years, and I started having a really bad reaction to it. And I thought I was on the lowest dose. Guess what? I was on the lowest dose 15 years ago. And now, it because of research and improvements, I am on the new improved lower dose. And because of research and funding, things like that are possible. But if they had just said our profit margins, that would have been a different thing. Also, just character quibble, him just dragging his chair and making this huge scene and, oh, I want to sit next to Joy. Again, it's a pointless power move on his part, and it makes him look dumb, and it makes him look childish. And if he's supposed to be this heavenly warrior who grew up in a monastery, he is again failing at it. He's coming across as ill-informed, childish, and bullying.
I'll almost give him that move in the board meeting because she put him off for 2 or 3 days. Probably was going to end up being 2 or 3 weeks for their meeting. He wanted to know about the peer, and she did not want anything to do with him. So that was his way of trying to get with her. So might not have been the best move, but it was a move he could make. So I can kind of understand that.
I don't know. I think he's just an idiot.
I mean, you're not going to get any arguments from me.
Okay, so let's talk about the idiot and his story of becoming the Iron Fist to Joy.
Okay, so after Joy takes him out of the meeting, essentially, after he's made that decision to use his majority shares to mess everything up. At this point, she's been relegated to Danny Rand's babysitter. And he ends up telling her a little bit about, oh, I wanted this special job and I wanted it just because I wanted it, even though I had no qualifications and my life's so hard. And yeah, the whole, you know, everything was terrible. First of all, monasteries don't work like that. Secondly, again, I wanted this thing because I wanted it for no reason. He comes across as childish and selfish and entitled. The writers, what are you doing?
So much blow.
Yes. Just, oh my God. I wish they had come up with a better reason. I get that they're trying to be like, this is him at the beginning of his career at the Iron Fist, as the Iron Fist. But I wanted it because I wanted it. There's got to be a better reason. I can think of 5 better reasons right now off the top of my head. Something in it is calling to him. He needs it because he needs the power to do a thing. Just, I wanted it because I wanted it is not a good reason.
Okay. We're bashing Danny quite a bit, but you got to admit,
the
press conference, though, he did pretty good at the press conference, didn't he, Haley?
I don't think so. I don't remember him doing good at anything all season.
It was like the closest thing it reminded me of is when Tony Stark came back from Afghanistan, that first press conference where he's sitting on the ground eating Burger King, because it's the whole, here's the note cards, read off the note cards. Here's this, we're declaring this guy not dead. And again, everyone's just kind of like, oh, how long were you in the mental institution? And he's just kind of, hey, guys. Honestly, I feel like he didn't do too terribly here. he was just kind of happy to be there and not really, he didn't really know what to expect. And of course, the press is like going to eat him alive, which is why Jerry Hogarth was there to kind of, again, babysit him, but that's sort of her job.
J-Money! Yay!
We don't do that. I love when he tries to hug her and she just shuts him down. No.
No.
But this is the time where he goes underneath his father's desk. They found his father's desk in storage somewhere, which I don't believe that ever would have happened. And he goes underneath the desk and he finds the stickers, which I believe they were Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stickers, weren't they?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Because I was eye-rolling too hard.
Yeah, I know. Because he just drops down underneath there. And I'm like, dude, that's creepy.
It's just... I mean, I have never been accused of being the most mature person. But even I know what is appropriate in a work environment. And anyway, Jerry also eye rolls and is like, you are paying me. This is billable hours, so let's get to work. Seriously, I love Jerry so much in this series. Like in Jessica Jones, you know, she's very cold. Yeah, she's, you don't like her. And here, I kind of love her.
She's been doing good so far. I mean, it's obvious she wants money.
Because
she wants the client.
You stay out of her personal life in this one.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is where she's a train wreck.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly. I was trying to think of an analogy to make it even better, but yeah. Okay. Train wreck is
kind
good.
Of a train wreck of her own making.
Yeah.
Like she was the conductor and she just rammed full speed ahead.
Right into the table.
Somebody else that's running full speed ahead is the hand. So there's a lot of talk about the hand in this episode.
Yeah, Harold meets up with Danny because, okay, we didn't really talk about it. End of last episode, Danny gets pushed off a building. Well, Ward pushes him off a building. Danny catches himself at the beginning, still ends up unconscious, but they bring him back inside to Harold's office. And Harold's like, hey, what's up? Also not dead, dude.
You see him too?
Yeah, they end up talking about the hand for a while. So later on in the episode, after the whole elevator fight, they're trying to figure out, okay, who started this whole elevator fight thing? What's up with the guys with the hatchets? And when Danny goes to Colleen and is like, hey, you know anything about these hatchet guys? Colleen is able to be like, okay, well, this is the name of a golden, what is it? Golden Sun. It's the name of a Chinese restaurant. And this thing that they said is connected with the triads. So Danny goes there to talk to him. They're like, they're mad about Rand Corporation buying their pier. Danny makes a gamble, says it has to do with the hand. They flip out and we're like, we're very sorry. And then they just kind of scatter and go away and hide. And during the whole hallway and elevator fight, one of them punches Joy.
Bad move. Bad move.
So yep. Madame Gao shows up again in shadows. We still don't see her face, but we hear her. And Harold is like, I need a favor. And what is that favor, SP?
The favor is to be the one to go kill the guy that hit his daughter.
I mean, I guess that's a good dad move.
Yeah, no, that's a crazy dad move right there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He hit your daughter. You don't slice his head open with a sword and then get it stuck there and have to kick him off of it in order to leave. Yeah, no, that's just that's the top.
Overkill.
Yeah,
that's overkill
a little bit.
I am actually pleased that Gao let him do it. I thought he might be in trouble with Gao for letting Danny back into the corporation, but no, she's actually rewarding him for the purchase of the pier here. So okay.
Yeah, it's, I mean, reward is incentive to get people to do another thing. And also, him killing somebody for the hand is kind of digging himself in deeper.
Okay, so he's getting rewarded, but what about his assistant? What happened with his assistant? Did he die? Did I miss that? Is the assistant gone all of a sudden?
Is he on a smoke break?
For days? I haven't seen him in a couple of days. Are you, last episode, I don't think he was in it, and then he's not in it this episode, so I don't know.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Good to know he's safe and that Harold didn't slice his head open either.
Speaking of Meachums, Ward is an idiot.
God, I hate Ward so much.
Oh my God. He decides, I'm going to get one over on Danny. I'm going to call a reporter and tell her all about this dumb thing that he did with the company today.
Oh no. See, I thought that was intentional on his part to make the company look good.
Yeah. But then he gets drunk and is like, oh, do you know what he did today? He said he was going to sell this at profit. We could have made so much money. And then the reporter was like, huh? Because again, because of the way he phrased it, we could have made so much money versus we could have used this to research and further.
No, I thought he was doing that on purpose to make Danny look good.
I thought he was trying to get one over on Danny.
No. I thought it was like, make Danny look good, make the company look good now. I could be mistaken.
Okay, the impression I got from it is that he wanted to try to take Danny down. With like, look what an idiot at business this guy is.
After his conversation with Harold, it sounded like that's the tactic that he was trying to do, but I don't know, maybe this is a different ends to the means. I haven't seen the series like you guys have, so I'm a little bit confused. And I asked you before we went on air, is the story relevant for the rest of the series? Because it actually looked good news for Danny to me versus bad. So I'm a little confused. It's a whole reporter thing, other than he was trying to hit on her. That was pretty obvious.
Yeah, well, he was really, really drunk. He was trying to hit on her. He was, again, if he was trying to make Danny look good, he succeeded, but then he made the company look bad. If he was trying to make Danny look bad, he failed and made the company look greedy. So then this reporter's like, I gotta go. And then on her way out, she calls the newspaper that she's working for and says, tell Karen that she can't have the front page. I've got an even bigger story. So yay, presumable Karen reference from Daredevil.
Yay.
Now, I didn't actually do some of my research before we went on because, well, this is Iron Fist, but is this Christine Everhart, who is the reporter in Iron Man 2?
No, it's not.
Oh, almost got myself excited for a second.
She was also a reporter in Iron Man 1.
Yep.
But not in this show.
Right, but she had an expanded role in Iron Man 2.
Yeah, she did. She did a full spread on Tony.
All right, so a couple things left. First of all, we do get actual confirmation that Joy gave the bowl to Jerry. So we got confirmation that's put to bed. It was confirmed. And then at the end, Danny all of a sudden gets this tattoo after receiving a bowl and a piece of paper in the hallway. I'm really confused at what happened there.
Okay, so he didn't just get that tattoo. What happened is, and again, this is from the comics, but if I remember right, it does carry through to the show. When Danny fought Sholau, the dragon, and he defeated it, the symbol of the dragon was burned onto him. So that's how he got that tattoo. It's the symbol of the Iron Fist.
So he is the Iron Fist, and he's got the tattoo to prove it. All right. Haley, do you have any other things about the episode that you wish to discuss?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's good. Lauren, you got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Woohoo! We made it to the end of the Iron Fist discussion! Yay! All right, so now what we're going to do is what we do every week, and we talk about the fact that we're part of the GunnaGeek.com network, and if you are kind of tired of Iron Fist and you want to hear about something else, you can go over to our network and listen to a podcast called In Defense Of. Now, In Defense Of is a great podcast that talks about basically the heart of geekdom. And in their latest episode, number 39, entitled Space for Everyone, they're joined by writer Ty Gooden, and they discuss diversity in science fiction across all media. So go check that out at GunnaGeek.com. That is episode 39 of In Defense Of, titled Space for Everyone. And now we get to get into some Marvel news.
As many of you will recall, the Fantastic Four comic was canceled, and there was a lot of speculation as to why it might have been canceled, but Marvel writer Jonathan Hickman has confirmed what that reason is.
Yep. At the time, I think we speculated that it was probably because Marvel couldn't get the movie rights. And that has been confirmed.
Wait a minute. Jonathan Hickman. Is this the same Jonathan Hickman that does East of West?
Yes, it is.
Oh, there you go. Independent comic creator as well. But okay. So what does he have to say about Marvel?
All right. He wrote Fantastic Four for a while, and actually his run was really good. Marvel cited poor comic book sales, but Hickman said to Newsarama, "I think it's pretty common knowledge at this point that Marvel isn't publishing Fantastic Four because of their disagreement with Fox. While it bums me out, I completely understand because, well, it isn't like they're not acting out of cause. Fox needs to do a better job there." And then he said later on in the interview, "That kind of thinking runs contrary to everything I believe in as a professional storyteller. It comes from a place of manipulation where an attempt is made to make the reader desire something through denial. It's hacky. It's suboptimal. It's the central tenet of all dating advice. If you want someone to care about a book, write a story that they care about." And honestly, it's kind of what they're doing with the whole X-Men versus Inhumans thing. They're really pushing the Inhumans.
Oh my God.
Kind of leaving the X-Men out to dry.
If you want to hear about that, go listen to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition, where we are just into the coverage right now of the 6-episode run, I believe it was, of Inhumans versus X-Men. And you get to hear all about how Lauren and I both differ, and we agree on the whole Inhumans thing, but we differ a little bit, at least for now, about the coverage. We'll see if that persists throughout the run.
Well, speaking of Inhumans, there's an Inhumans TV show coming up, which everyone is so excited about, and there was a press panel lately, and that's definitely a thing that happened.
Okay, so the TCA press panel was this past weekend, the Television Critics Association, and apparently things got awkward. IO9 has some coverage and a lot of tweets from people, including from Libby Hill at Midwest Spitfire. "You'll be happy to know that the Inhumans panel is just as uncomfortable as the Inhumans pilot." From Tim Goodman at Bastard Machine, "The Inhumans panel was like a live table read on Curb Your Enthusiasm." Apparently, Anson Mount said, "You're making me feel like Ben Affleck right now," regarding the whole, remember when Batman versus Superman came out, the "Hello Darkness, My Old Friend" thing about Ben Affleck?
Yep.
A smart, well-framed question from at Dagans gets pushed aside from Jeff Loeb with basically, "We're Marvel, we do what we do."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, because they gave us Iron Fist. And oh, by the way, the same guy, Scott Buck, that gave us Iron Fist is giving us Inhumans. So yeah, there's another correlating news story about this whole thing, by the way. It's because Marvel or ABC or somebody finally wised up to the fact that Inhumans is going to kill their ratings, and then said, "Oh, you know what? We've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. set to premiere in January. Let's pull it forward to November."
Two other tweets that I really like. Jeff Loeb has apparently decided it's safer if he asks the questions for Inhuman. And somebody else, "Artist's rendering of various responses to a reasonable, well-stated question during the Inhumans panel." And it's a gif from Arrested Development. "I don't understand the question and I won't respond to it." So this whole thing sounded awkward, and I feel very bad for the cast. And
is Jeff Loeb on drugs right now? Because if he's really thinking that this is what's going to work here, he is sorely mistaken.
This is sounding more like the Jeff Loeb that I was so angry at from Ultimate Comics.
Once again, he might be on drugs. I think we got a little, I have no idea.
I mean, I understand being defensive about a project that you've worked on. I mean, again, I wrote Backstreet Boy Dragonlance crossover fan fiction in high school. This is a thing that I did. It is not a thing that was good.
When is it going to premiere? In September? So September, October, November. So this is 3 months that we're just going to have to buck up, get through it, and get to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's 8 episodes, and I'm assuming since the first 2 episodes are airing together in IMAX, they'll air them on the same night of television when they finally air as well. So 7 weeks, we can get through it, we'll make it through, and then it'll be over. And good news, right after that, we get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it has been announced that as soon as those episodes of Inhumans are done, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back.
I mean, that's what's keeping me going right now. That and the knowledge that I have so much bourbon and bottled wine sitting in my liquor cabinet right now.
Well, that's good because The Defenders is out next weekend.
Oh my God, yes. You guys, I am so excited.
August 18th, 2017, The Defenders to Netflix. There you go.
Woot.
So more good things.
And moving away from Marvel Studios and over to the Sony part of Marvel, Riz Ahmed is in talks to join Venom, the Venom movie that they're making for some reason.
I love this man. He looks like an actual anime character. He just has these big, beautiful brown eyes and just a gorgeous smile and put him in a Marvel movie. Come on, give me. But yeah, Venom. Yay.
Yeah. Somebody was hoping that he would end up playing Smythe.
That would be interesting. With or without a flat top.
Only if it can be like 2 inches tall the way it was in the cartoon.
Yeah, the 2 inches tall flat top with the kind of mullety thing going on.
Yep.
Oh, nostalgia.
And moving back towards Marvel Studios, the Disney Store is adding an official Ms. Marvel costume for kids.
It is so cute. I saw this earlier today on G. Willow Wilson's Twitter feed. G. Willow Wilson is the writer and creator of Kamala Khan. And yes, it is this version of the Ms. Marvel costume. And you guys, I am so happy. The picture is adorable. Kamala Khan is an actual Disney princess. Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So yeah, that's great stuff coming from Marvel. And that's our last news story. So we're going to move on to some feedback.
All right. Starting off with at Born to Eat Bacon. Original Funko was asking, I guess, what pops do you want to see? Or they had an Ask Funko thing. And he retweeted Topato's fan, Agent N, saying, "When will we see more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pops? I know I ask a lot, but my Funko collection will never be complete without Fitzsimmons." To which Born to Eat Bacon said, "When are you going to answer Topato fans about Fitzsimmons, not Fish Simmons, hashtag Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pops, and why isn't Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. asking too?" The answer was that I was busy watching Black Sails. And then there was a conversation going on between Topato's fan and Born to Eat Bacon, where the subject of Mac and Yo-Yo were also brought up, to which I can only say yes, please.
Yes, Mac and Yo-Yo, that would be awesome, Pop Funkos.
Mac, Yo-Yo, Science Babies, come on, guys, get on the case.
That's where you're going to make your money with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans.
Mm-hmm.
And also Coulson and Melinda.
Well, we already have Coulson, we already have Melinda. If we could use, we could get like a different Coulson where he has the invisible shield.
Oh, yeah.
Like a variant. Or we could get history teacher Coulson. And we could get, I'm trying to think of all the variants we could have. We could have Mac with his shotgun axe.
Go shotgun axe, Max! Yay!
Yes. Come on, there's so many different versions we could have.
Indeed.
All right, at Andy Mingna tweeted us and said, "And everything is now fine in the world." Then what he tweeted us was a news article from Slash Film. New Thor Ragnarok images arrive. Jamie Alexander confirmed to return as Lady Sif.
Yes!
And everything is indeed fine in the world.
Indeed.
Well, maybe not everything, but enough of it is fine that I'm happy. Because, again, Sif.
Yeah, Sif, Faramir, you know, the whole gang from Asgard. It'd be awesome to have back. And it would be awesome to have Jane Foster back too, but that's just not going to happen. Although we did, you know what? We got our Gwyneth Paltrow back, and Iron Man in Spider-Man, so who knows? We could get more Jane Foster.
This is true. I mean, if we could get Jane and Darcy back, that would be amazing.
Oh, Darcy. See, that's the whole thing about Jane, because I want Darcy, yeah.
I love Darcy so much. And Mr. Paracletes tweeted us, and he sent us an article from moviepilot.com about the Avengers Season 5 release date. So not only is it moving early, but we might also be heading for an Infinity War tie-in.
Interesting, Infinity War. And now I wonder if this is going to be a weak or a strong tie-in. And they're in space, so, you know.
Yeah, who knows? Either way, I'm just happy to get my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, Inhumans could have been so much better than it's possibly going to be, and that could have satiated us, but I don't think any one of us are really looking forward to it at this point in time. However, after we finish Iron Fist and Legion, there's a ton of other stuff to cover, like the Defenders. So we're going to have some good stuff to cover for the rest of the year.
I'm really looking forward to Defenders.
Yes, oh man. Just give me Jessica snarking at everybody. I need that to live.
Sure.
And Claire, all the Claire. You know it has to have Claire.
Oh, that means I can talk about the thing I sent you guys
earlier.
Yes,
yes, yes.
It was one of those superhero text things that, you know, you see all the time. And it starts with Stick trying to assemble the team. New York is going to be destroyed unless I can unite you idiots to defend it. So shut up and do what I say. Jessica Jones. And I'm out. Bye, crazies. Luke. Me too. Daredevil. You're never going to unite us, Stick. We have nothing in common. The only person who ever understood my secret is Claire. Jessica. Wait. Claire? As in Nurse Claire? You know her? Luke. Claire's my girlfriend. Iron Fist. Claire's awesome. She came to China with me and I'd defend her any day. Spoilers. Daredevil. Great. It's agreed then. Stick, you're out. Claire is our leader and we're the defend hers. Stick. I can't even be mad.
Yeah, yeah, that was an awesome find. That actually had me chuckling for a while there, Haley. So way to go there.
That was great. And true.
Indeed. And that's it for the feedback this week. Are we gonna hop? Are we gonna fly this one out? How are we gonna get this?
I think we should mall power walk this one out.
We're gonna mall power walk.
Let's go to the mall today.
There you go. Little Director Hill inside information there from How I Met Your Mother. Back when How I Met Your Mother was cool. All right, we're going to mall power walk this one out. Just a little reminder, this will be the last live show that I'm probably going to be able to get out before Gen Con. Gunna Geek is going to be at Gen Con Saturday, the 19th of August, 2017. This is the 50th version of Gen Con. So Cody and Jonathan Martin from Game Life Balance US, my co-host from Starling Tribune, who's guest hosted on this show, her name is Michelle, and myself will be doing two panels at Gen Con at 10 a.m. in the Crown Plaza. In the room is Pennsylvania Station C. I'll see what that is when I get there. The title of the first panel is What is a Podcast? A Miserable Little Pile of Secrets. At 11 a.m., we're going to do a follow-on panel called Purposeful Podcasting with the Gunna Geek Network. And then we're going to have some meets and greets. It's going to be a Q&A. It's going to be a good time. So if you want to come out, see us, ask some questions about podcasting, go to the Crown Plaza, Pennsylvania Station C, Saturday, the 19th of August during Gen Con, at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Now, Lauren, you are also going to be at an event here in the future.
Yes, I am. I will be at Fandemic Tour here in Houston on September 15th through 17th. And it's here at the NRG Stadium in Houston. They just added some new guests, in addition to Sebastian Stan, Bruce Campbell, Michael Rooker, Sean Gunn. James Marsters and Claire Kramer from Buffy the Vampire Slayer are going to be joining, along with Neil Adams. I don't remember if I mentioned that. I think I
did. Yes, you did. Yep.
Irene Koh, who doesn't work for Marvel, but illustrated The Legend of Korra Turf Wars, which just came out, and I can't recommend enough.
I just read it. It's so good.
Yes, I haven't had a chance to read it. I just bought it today. Greg Horn, who works for Marvel, Mustafa Musa, Phil Ortiz, Renee Witterstater, Arthur Suidam. Just so many good people. There's some cosplayers that are going to be there, including Lady Magneto and Merle the cosplay dog, who is in this picture dressed up as Doctor Strange. It is a puppy dressed as Doctor Strange, you guys. This is the best.
Pupper Strange?
Pupper Strange.
Does it have the cape?
Yes.
In any event, you're going to be there that weekend. You're going to have some exciting stuff, and you're really looking forward to being there, right?
Yeah, and listen up. Keep an eye on our Twitter feed and our Facebook feed. And if you are in the Texas area, and if you feel like coming up to Houston, or if you are in Houston, keep listening, and we might have some stuff for you.
Little tease there. Mm-hmm. All right, so we like to tease you, but we also like just to thank you, because we wouldn't be doing this podcast unless you guys listened to it, unless you downloaded it, unless you communicated with us on all the ways. So I just want to say thank you to everybody, and I want to say thank you to the production team behind the scenes. I know we've got some catch up to do here, and we're really looking forward to getting back on track for the Inhumans premiere.
Just the defeat. I'd like to thank everybody who tweets at us, whether it's sending us news that we might have missed, whether it's sending us stuff that you think we might find interesting, whether it's sending us your opinions on stuff that we've said in the episode that you agree or don't agree with. We love hearing from you guys, and we love you.
And thank you to everybody that's listening and watching live right now. We're not going to be live next week. We're going to be live again on Sunday, though, and you can join us and watch then as well.
Indeed, we will be live next week, but...
Oh, we will?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the week after. Never mind.
Yep. So, yes, spoiler alert, the Thursday, the 24th of August, we will not be recording a podcast, and that's just because there's just too much going on. We just can't do it. Sorry. But we will be live on every other Sunday and Thursday, so we can get Iron Fist out of the way. Yeah.
We're trying to get through this, you guys. We swear.
And to be honest, it's really me that's holding things up, because I want to watch Iron Fist before I watch The Defenders. So no, I will not be watching The Defenders, but we will have, the ladies will undoubtedly mainline it, and we will have spoiler-free series-wide talk at the beginning of the podcast that they have finished their watch through, which might be on the, we'll see when that is. Well, I probably have to split it up because the ladies actually have some stuff they got to do. So with that, until next time, I'm Director Woo-Woo Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
See you guys next time, unless I drive this off the tracks. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Oh, and check this out.
What the heck? What happened there?
I was doing archery.
That's not how you're supposed to do archery.
Well, okay. So normally it hits people right here, and I was wearing an arm guard and everything, but the bow was slightly too heavy and my elbow hyperextends. So it kept hitting me right here. Mm. And I should stop doing that because now it finally hurts.
Mm-hmm. So were you doing compound or longbow?
Recurve.
I'm impressed.
I did really good. I was like, well, I like target shooting with guns, and my husband and father-in-law tell me I have a good eye, so I'll try archery. I like doing archery in video games and stuff, and I did it, and it was fun, and I was good at it, much better than I was in Girl Scouts, which was granted when I was like 9, 8, very young. And I was like, okay, cool. And this is actually a good workout for my shoulders, which I need because my shoulders are very bad and tend to slip out sometimes.
Mm.
So I'm like, okay, if I stick with this, it should be a good workout. I just need to, like, next craft night we do, we're trying to figure out a way to do a brace that, well, first of all, we're going to try to move me down to about a 25-pound bow instead of a 31 and see if that makes a difference. And then we're going to try to make me an arm guard that goes all the way down to my elbow.
Okay.
Instead of just halfway.
Out of leather?
Yeah. The guy that was teaching me, Marcus, has some spare leather, so.
Sweet.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun. It was great.
Yeah, so I guess, I forgot, but I guess the episode that dropped tonight, 189, was the one that we said that you ladies could go on Tyrion's Landing. So some one of our listeners, I think it was Born to Eat Bacon, already picked that up. He said, I will add that if Sith Witch and Awesome Engineering Girl were on Tyrion's Landing, I would even tune in to listen. Have you ever heard of this comic, East of West?
Yes.
Any heard anything good about it?
See, it's the one I'm thinking of.
It's like a Western mashup with sci-fi, I guess.
Okay, this is the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, it's Hickman, so it's pretty good.
Somebody offered me the first 28 issues for $40, and I said, eh, okay.
Huh, good deal. Yeah, I tend to like Hickman's writing, and I tend to like weird Westerns. So this is one of those ones that I always meant to read and then kind of forgot about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, right now my current Western love is pretty deadly in terms of comics.
Well, the sci-fi part is the one that kind of drew me in, so we'll see if it has some sci-fi. Because I saw some ships that look pretty neat, and I know it's probably a very minimal thing. It just had a Star Blazers picture to it, but the vibe reminded me of Serenity. Firefly. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that turns out. I'll read the first couple of issues. I guess they're only up to issue 35, maybe 33, and it started in 2013, so they must only publish like once a quarter or something like that.
Yeah, that's a problem with when people who tend to write for big houses, when they do their independent stuff, it's like, well, now I can only really do it, especially when they work with artists who also work with the big houses.
Got to go with who's paying the bills.
Yeah. Like, the good thing about right now with Pretty Deadly is Kelly Sue DeConnick works with Marvel, but the artist who's working on it works with Image, I think.
Oh, okay. I don't necessarily consider Image a smaller independent house, but...
Well, it's creator owned.
Yeah.
It's an offshoot of Marvel. Like, it's owned by Marvel.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. So Image is where Marvel workers, like the writers, get to do their creator owned stuff. Just like Vertigo is where DC people get to do their creator owned stuff. So that's kind of the difference between the two. It's more or less the same type of stuff. It's where the writers can be more experimental. But they still own their own property. Unlike Marvel and DC, where it's the Marvel and DC property.
Right.
So the creators have more say in, like, they aren't beholden to Image or Vertigo in terms of where the story goes.
Especially if you created your own universe, like mm-hmm. Invincible or Saga.
Yes.
This time on episode 192 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to talk about Iron Fist, 8-diagram dragon palm. We're going to talk about the weekly Marvel news and the great listener feedback.
I'm Haley.
I'm John.
And I'm Will.
And we're from Crimson Comet, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed.
Guess what, folks? Wasn't recording the video, so we're going to do that one over again. Take two. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.